I kid. For context, the Hall of Fame has had zero electees before 2013, when the steroids question was first front and center. Also 1996, 1971, about a half a dozen other years. Here are the final results. Kirk Schilling, 16 votes short. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens behind him. We'll get to Schilling's letter and him trying to pull himself off the ballot going forward, but writers trying to deny him that opportunity in a second. Last, here is the so-called morality clause the 401 Hall voters, Baseball Writers of America, abide by. Voting shall be based upon the player's record, playing ability, integrity, sportsmanship, character, and contributions to the team. Bob Ryan, happy to have you here today. You are a Hall of Fame voter for baseball. Around the horn to you, is zero a satisfactory result this year? And what did the Hall of Fame just do?
It's an unsatisfactory result. It's an unfortunate result. It was very well predicted. And the reason it was predicted is that this ballot lacked a first ballot shoe-in newcomer, A, and B, two other categories. Messrs. Bonds and Clemens, for well-known reasons, have fallen short despite their incredible accomplishments. And then a succession of we call borderline candidates, really fine players, but not overwhelmingly obvious to enough people. And it's, this was so the final result was not shocking at all.
But to put a point on it, the result is Bonds and Clemens, and we'll deal with Schilling in a second, not getting in because of performance enhancement drugs in their career, allegedly, and in their generation, I think, is what I want to say here. So when you read that there is a morality clause and you read character integrity, let me ask you, what does that mean to you? And do you think it means the same to every voter?
No, it doesn't. Everyone is free to interpret it as he or she wishes. In my case, it's about a thing playing the quote right
way. Isn't that a problem,
Bob? The evidence.
Sorry to interrupt. Isn't that a problem that voters have a different definition of the word integrity or what the morality and the right way to play the game is?
All right, let's get to the point here. The Hall could alter this. They could stop this immediately. They could take charge. They could say, okay, that, look, there was a period of time in which there were performance-enhancing drugs in baseball. We have instructed our voters to vote on accomplishments only, numbers and accomplishments only, and don't worry about anything else. If they were to do that, we wouldn't have this problem. I put the blame on them.
What is stopping them from doing that? If we're talking about an entire generation of the game, and let's be honest here, Bob, all right, the entire history of baseball, the first half of it, was a generation that did not allow black players into the game. Segregated baseball. That's a huge asterisk. Please address that, then we'll get to the rest of the panel.
There's nothing to prevent them from doing anything they wish. It's a private museum. And they can do whatever they wish, and they should. They could have avoided this problem, or they could have, once they saw it was a problem, they could have addressed this problem. They steadfastly refused to address this problem and take charge and take the burden off us.
So you did not vote Bonds or Clemens in this year.
I choose not to vote for them.
Kevin,
yes.
Blackstone, you could anything Bob just said or zero in this year. Is that satisfactory?
Yeah, well, it's all satisfactory. Bob should not be vexed by this, and this is what has happened. I don't vote for any awards because I grew up under the idea that journalists should cover the news and not make the news. In this case, journalists are making the news because the Hall of Fame, the people who run baseball, have convoluted the entire situation. When you mention integrity, sportsmanship, and character, all of a sudden, you're asking people to judge something that doesn't have anything to do with the game of baseball. There are solutions to this. Baseball can clean this up, or the Hall of Fame can clean this up and say, you know what, people who come in here, we're going to be true to their entire biography, and we are going to mention, just as we do their batting average, those things which have upset people in society.
This is the plaque that theory that I threw out there. Like, this is a museum. Put it all out there. Now, Kevin, I know some would oppose you saying, well, steroids, the use of steroids did affect the game very much so. The greater point is it was an entire generation and baseball wasn't testing for it. Mina Kimes, Woody Page, I'm sorry. I'll bring you in now, Mina Kimes, on zero as the end result and the voting process.
Well, I want to address what my fellow panelists said, which is this idea that it shouldn't be in the hands of the voters, that the Hall of Fame should make the decision, and if they're allowing everyone in, which I think they should, and I'll address in a second, they should tell the whole story. I agree with that, but it's not just a museum. It's not just plaques. Mm-hmm. We're talking about honoring these players. They're invited to give speeches, and they're exalted. So it goes beyond telling the story. They're given a platform. And I'm sympathetic to the notion of voters, writers, and potentially the Hall not wanting to give someone like Kurt Schilling, who has used hate speech, a platform. I get that. I think the problem is such an uneven standard has been applied over the years when it comes to issues of morality. It goes beyond hate speech. It goes beyond PEDs. We're talking about violence, sexual abuse, racism. To me, the only solution going forward is to just make it a list, let them admit them based on baseball merits and baseball merits alone, then make a subjective decision as to whether or not you honor them. I know that's splitting the baby, but there's no way to make it.
I understand what you're saying there, and that gets to my point. Lily White baseball for the first 80 years. Clearly, that's a big asterisk. There was greenies. There's so many transgressions from players, but they were not in the press or out completely. But I want to get back to the steroid generation with you, Woody Page, all right? You covered it, of course. Will Middlebrooks had a very interesting tweet here. Can we post that? I thought he drew a direct line to Bud Selig, who the commissioner was inducted into the Hall of Fame 4 years ago, and he presided over the steroid generation and celebrated it. You remember McGuire and Sosa and the home run chase of 98. And someone like Bonds, who never failed the test, is penalized for this and not inducted. How does it all strike you, Woody Page?
I find some of this odd, curious, and even funny, if you want to think about it, that I think Will Middlebrooks is absolutely right. I talked to the ex-commissioner a few months ago and asked him about that. He had his head in the sand, just as baseball did, throughout steroids. I include myself. I was going around chasing those players, McGuire and Sosa, and celebrating it, so I'm to blame. That's why, as a former member of the Hall of Fame in football, Hall of Fame baseball, basketball, Heisman Trophy, I quit all of them like Kevin, because I thought, I don't know what I should be doing, because I switched and I was voting for steroid-era losers that belong in the Hall of Fame. But I would say this, that the Baseball Hall of Fame is based on a fraud to begin with. That's what always made me laugh.
What do you mean by that?
Abner Doubleday didn't invent baseball. Well, Abner Doubleday didn't invent baseball, and that's what the whole reason the Baseball Hall of Fame exists for. So it was a fraud. It's been a fraud. 80 years you talked about. There are so many players that have done so many things wrong, and yet we as sports writers were supposed to decide when we have character problems ourselves whether the players going into the Hall of Fame have character problems. Makes no sense. Let the former Hall of Famers in all sports decide. There are enough of them, and they followed the game.
Bob, that Middlebrooks tweet, you remember Will Middlebrooks. He played for the Red Sox for a good chunk of time. To acknowledge that, well, Bud Selig's now in the Hall of Fame, and someone like Barry Bonds, who never failed the test, is not.
On the surface, it sounds like a very logical way of looking at it. I do think it's somewhat simplistic, and it doesn't really address the situation fully. And as far as Bonds is concerned, he failed the number one test, which was the eye test. But, that's his argument. We don't know who knew what when exactly. That's a fact.
Precisely.
We don't know. Woody's right. I'm with Woody. I covered that 80-98 final weekend, and I rhapsodized how great it was, blah, 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 and it never entered my head that there was anything wrong with it.
How could a sports writer know all? How could they know everything? I mean, maybe people 75 years ago know how Ty Cobb acted outside of the game of baseball, maybe even inside the game of baseball, yet he's still enshrined.
They knew.
Dick Allen, maybe he was a tough interviewer to a lot of people, and he's not enshrined. But I want to talk about Kurt Schilling here. He wants his name off the ballot. His letter explaining this was long and thought out. He wrote, quote, "Nothing, zero, none of the claims about me being made by any of the writers hold merit. In my 22 years playing, I've never said or acted in any capacity other than being a good teammate." He went on to say, he's played with wife beaters, adulterers, assaulters, drug addicts, alcoholics, never hit a woman, driven drunk, done drugs, PEDs, or committed any crime. Now, in the most Baseball Writers of America thing that could happen since yesterday when they elected no players, they today put out a statement saying Schilling's status is still in order. They recommend his request be denied. How do you hear it all, Kevin Blackstone?
Well, first of all, I remember when Harry Carson got passed over time and time again for the NFL Hall of Fame, and he said, you know what? Take my name off the ballot. I never want to go in. And then they elected him, and it was like the happiest he had ever been. So I'll put that aside. But you know what? Sadly, Kurt Schilling has a he has it right. He's absolutely right. And there is plenty of history. Once again, this is how convoluted, vexing, confusing the situation is. You can look at the Baseball Hall of Fame and you can see Kurt Schilling's all the way through it. Kenesaw Landis was the commissioner of baseball who lorded over keeping it a segregated sport. He's in there. 1944 class, 1939 class involves Cap Anson, the greatest baseball figure of the 19th century. And he's the one who, more than anyone, drew the color line in baseball. So he's got his
times.
You know, I first thought, well, why should Kurt Schilling get special treatment here? If Marvin Miller, the titan of labor, wanted to be taken off the ballot and they didn't let him, why should Schilling be allowed to? But the more I think about it, take him off. Who cares? If he doesn't want to be on it, fine. I mean, the man clearly wants attention every year, and if he is going to be deprived of it, so be it. I don't really see the necessity of keeping him on against his will to satisfy some historical standard.
Woody Page?
Well, that's where I disagree with you, Mina. He's not in charge of the Baseball Hall of Fame. They are. They make the decision. So he can't have his any more than actors who didn't want the Emmy and Oscar nominations, any more than Harry Carson and Kevin. I was involved in that. He called us drunk, lazy, stupid, terrible sports writers. And I said, I'm not a drunk. But I was everything else there, and we put him in the next year. And you're right; he just glowed. I'm sure that Schilling, if he gets in next year, will just accept it and be excited about it. So he's not in charge of it. Don't take him off the ballot.
Yeah, that's part of the issue. The other issue is Kurt Schilling himself being judged, much like we just talked about with Bonds, and we talked about with Clemens for things off the field of baseball. Bob Ryan, I'll turn to you lastly.
Well, I vote for him every year. I voted for him from the beginning. I think I'd like to still keep voting for him in his 10th and final time, just for he won't have the satisfaction, you know what I'm saying, so of thinking he's right. He's totally wrong about our judgment on him. That's all I can tell you.
Blackstone 12, Kime 6, Page 5, Ryan 5. Buy or sell on the other side.
Bob, his nickname with the Red Sox was Table for One.
Well, we could do a whole half hour on
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
It's been 2 weeks, and the Los Angeles Rams giving zero indication they're going to give any indication on Jared Goff's security and future with the team. I'm looking for a reporter who's been in the trenches and worn Radio Shack-style Rams polo shirts calling preseason games. Mina, what's going on with the Rams and Goff?
I don't know where you got that footage. Well, where there's smoke, there's fire. I think that there is no guarantee that Jared Goff is going to be the starting quarterback for the Rams. Now, I will say he's going to be on the roster because it would cost them too much money to part ways with him, and I don't see a team trading for that contract. But the language around him all season, what we saw in the playoff game where he was benched, suggests that they at least want to have a competition, whether it's with Wolford or a draft pick. It's going to be an interesting summer.
Woody Page.
I think they're all confused. They're making fun of it about the day of the week and where they are. I don't think they're in love anymore with him, and I can understand why after Belichick figured out exactly how to defend him in the Super Bowl. But as Mina said, you can't give up that much money. They gotta sign a new quarterback and bring in somebody to challenge
him. Kevin Blackstone.
Well, they've got to be disappointed. I mean, the last couple of years, he threw for like 4,600 yards. That was off this year, although his completion percentage went up. But, you know, they squandered an opportunity here. They had the best defense going, and the offense couldn't keep up. So they've got question marks around Goff.
Bob Ryan?
I don't think I can ever recall a circumstance in which a team's general manager made fun, public fun, had a big joke, har-har, at his expensive quarterback's expense. As he did with what day is it? 26. He's our quarterback today. If I'm his agent, I get on the phone. I got to get him out of there.
Really? Okay. The point you make is who made him that expensive quarterback? The team was the one that made him that expensive quarterback.
Sure.
It's been a week in the Detroit Lions and Matthew Stafford market. It appears strong, seeing as there's about 18 teams that could go for a new quarterback this year. Lions say they want fair market value. Woody, what would that be? Which team needs to make this happen for Stafford?
2 second round draft choices. There's a team out there that has traded for or signed a former number one overall draft pick. That would be the Denver Broncos, who had John Elway and Peyton Manning, who had incredible comeback numbers. And Stafford's number four. He could be the third guy to lead them to the Super Bowl as the number one pick of all.
Are you just saying that because you happen to be in Denver? Is that possibly how this came to you?
It's a homer answer to you, Tony.
Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
Well, the last time that Matt Stafford really had a great season in leading a team, the 11 and 5 Lions, was when he had a top-notch defense. Kind of like what you have here in Washington, a team without a quarterback.
Okay. Wait. I'm sensing a theme here. Whatever city you live in, that's where Matthew Stafford should be. Well, the New England Patriots, Bob Ryan, is that what you're going to tell us?
We've got the 15th pick in the draft, and there's nothing more ridiculously overvalued than a first-round draft pick in the NFL. It makes me laugh. I would take that in a heartbeat.
Mina, I turn to you. So Woody said second-round picks. Bob says the first-round pick, just take it, number 15. What's the market, and where should Stafford land?
I was going to advocate for the Rams, but they can't afford him because I think it will require a first-round pick. I like the ideas of Denver, Washington, San Francisco, New England, Indy. The truth is it should be a big and vibrant market because he's a good quarterback with an affordable
contract.
Well,
that's a huge market. That's like six teams. Can you get this one that has got the head start to at least be in the sweepstakes?
Indy is the favorite, but again, they're going to have competition.
Buy or sell three, the first ever guys who were traded for each other, mixing it up in a game and getting double technicaled. I'm not sure that there's a historical record of that, but I'll look to see if Bob refutes it. All right, downtrodden Bradley Beal in this one as well. Wizards trotting down when they play, which is not often, they lose. Kevin Blackison, what was that with Wall and Westbrook, and what's going on with Bradley Beal?
Well, I don't know what that was with Wall and Westbrook. I mean, they're both out of the situations they want to be. They wanted to get out of, so they should be happy. Brad Beal, just a couple years ago, you had a chance to leave. You signed a $72 million extension that keeps you out of the extravaganza in 2021 for free agents. Be happy. Wait your moment.
You say be happy, but did that look like a happy gentleman right there, Kevin? Do you believe he's regretting?
I understand it. The team is falling apart around him, but you know what? You made
Bob
this
Ryan.
Bet. You got in it.
John Wall went on a little rant after the game in which he was saying that it was basically a revenge game. He did not like the way he was treated in Washington. So I'm thinking that he just took an opportunity on a little run in the game to go off, and that the Russell Westbrook was the collateral damage in this little rant.
Mina Kimes?
He's right. From a basketball perspective, I want Bradley Beal out of there. He's leading the league in scoring. Sixth player in the history of the NBA to score at least 25 points in his first 12 games. And yes, I just dropped that stat to troll Bob Ryan.
Well, I don't think it's the first to score 35 points in his first 12 games. Woody Page, how about you?
Yeah, I want to concentrate on Beal, too. He looked like a guy saying, what in the hell am I doing here?
Oh, he signed. Guys?
I want out of here. And so I blame it all on James Harden. He's the one who's responsible.
All right. We're going to short Woody Page and Bob Ryan here. I'm going to say GameStop to Woody Page and Bob Ryan here. Rita Kimes, Kevin Blackenstone. Showdown in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
A stunking story here on Super Bowl jerseys. Tampa, the home team, choosing their whites. Kansas City in red. Advantage who, Mina Kimes?
So at first I thought this was a miscalculation because Mahomes just won in red, but Brady's 4-1 in white. So this is classic Tom Brady trying to get an advantage, the usual.
Kevin Blackstone?
Well, you're absolutely right, but it's even better than that, Mina. 12 of the last 16 victors in the Super Bowl have worn the white jerseys. That's what you got to go for if you want to have the gods on your side a little bit in the Super Bowl. White jerseys.
Oh, you were so close to having this debt, but you missed it, Kevin Blackstone. It's 13, not 12. Mina Kimes then takes the FaceTime.
Wanted to take a moment today to talk about Chad Wheeler, NFL offensive lineman who was arrested over the weekend for domestic violence. The allegations, the images are graphic and disturbing. Wheeler was not on a team. His last employer, the Seahawks, did issue a statement condemning domestic violence, providing resources for mental health, which is also a facet here. The next step is for the NFL likely to investigate and probably suspend. I imagine he will not be re-signed because of his status as a backup in the league. And that's what I want to talk about just for a second, his status. His status is, frankly, a big part of reason why this story was undercovered, which is unfortunate. It's also why he's probably not going to get another job. If he was a star, I suspect he would. That's unfortunate as well. This is a tragic story all around, and the focus should be on the alleged victim, the woman. We should be talking about her violent and talking about violence towards women, in particular black women, as the case here. We don't do it enough, and my hope is that we start paying more attention to stories like this.
Thank you very much for
that. You're
here. On behalf of all of us. We'll see you tomorrow.